Hello and welcome to Think Rant, the podcast that, if it were a relative visiting for Christmas, it would be that old drink-sodden uncle who sits in the corner with a never-ending glass of sherry, frequently letting out sprout-infused farts and yelling politically incorrect rants at the telly. You still love the old git, even though you know that chair will retain the smell of urine for the next 4 months, and the old bastard won't leave you anything in his will. Joining me this week are my two regular co-hosts, the first of which is to intellectual discourse as Charlie Sheen is to feminism, it's Stephen Brett.
Good evening.
The second is to comedy as Lady Gaga is to fashion, it's Trevor J. Williams.
Well, thank you so very much.
You're working out whether that's a compliment or not, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm deciding to be offended just because it's from you.
Mine's definitely a compliment.
Okay.
I'm winning. I've got tiger's blood.
You're a Vatican assassin.
And I'll go with the usual announcements. You can check out old episodes on our blog, which is thinkrant.blogspot.com, or download them from iTunes, where you can also review us.
And leave feedback.
And also, you can tweet us at thinkrant. You can email us, info@thinkrant.co.uk, or you can find the Thinkrant Facebook group.
Yeah, and despite what John said, he doesn't edit the podcast. And he can't edit the podcast because his natural dexterity on the editing software would betray the fact that he, in fact, has six fingers and once killed a man who made for him a special sword. Apparently his son roams the land searching for him, and so we keep our sixth finger a bit of a secret.
Thank you, Trevor.
Do you not get the reference at all? Bloody heathen.
I got the reference.
No, sorry. What's,
okay.
What John hasn't seen The Princess Bride.
To my kid.
Oh, I did, but it was a long, long time ago, and I think I only saw bits of it. So I apologise for not getting your popular culture reference.
You killed my father. Prepare to die.
So we'll start with the Gaddafi news. Now, it's just breaking as far as I'm concerned. Last time I heard it was... Well, the first I heard was he'd been shot in two legs, but he was alive. Then it went to he's dead. And now Steve says he was dragged out of a drain and executed.
After being driven through the streets of the town on a truck.
Yeah. So, initial reaction, Trev?
Well, actually, I'm kind of chuffed about it. Not that I want to see anything dreadful happen to Gaddafi, a bit late now. But I don't feel sorry for anything he goes through. But I don't want other people to be in a position where they feel like they've got to torture him or hurt him. It's best that he got caught by his own people rather than external forces. And I think it's also good that he died apparently from his injuries, because it was a shootout and then they managed to officially arrest him before he died. From the video footage, it's fairly clear that they weren't really rushing him to hospital, but...
I don't know, Trev, sorry to interrupt you. I was just going to say, just on that point, from the clips I have just seen now, he wasn't exactly dying when he was pulled out of the hole, and the post-mortem shot shows a bullet hole to the side of his head.
Aha! Right.
So, I don't think he died as a result of his injuries. He was executed.
According to that video, it would seem. Yeah. It appears he was begging for his life as he was brought out of the drain and then shot.
Saying things, what have I ever done to you?
Yeah. Slightly.
Much like what have the Romans ever done for us.
yeah, that kind of thing. What have I done to you personally? So I'm not a fan of summary execution. I'd rather see him,
face justice.
Yeah.
I don't know if that would have been a good idea, because it can take a long time, and I mean, look what happened with Saddam Hussein's supposed trial. That turned into a farce, and it weakened the legitimacy of the government that they were trying to set up at the time.
It did degenerate into a farce, and I understand that, and I can kind of see your point.
But yeah, I'm not saying shoot him in the head instead, that's better.
But I also think that, you know, if we urge countries like Libya to seize democracy and to become a democratic nation, then we have to condemn that type of behaviour.
Yeah.
And he really should have been tried according to the law of the land for the murder of the people and the atrocities that he committed.
And also, it stops conspiracy theory fodder, because after Bin Laden was shot and chucked overboard, It just fueled rumours that he wasn't dead after all, and there was still a cause worth fighting for.
You know, I think you're right to some extent that wherever Gaddafi went, it was kind of, you know, it was always going to be sort of a circus, because the man was an idiot, in so much as, you know, he was living in a different planet. So it was always going to be a bit of a crazy trial, but nonetheless, I think he should have stood trial and should have and should have faced justice, basically.
The interesting thing is, all of the videos up until you've seen from him up until today is him being very defiant.
Mm-hmm.
He obviously didn't seem very defiant when they pulled him out and, you know, put a gun to his head or whatever. But I suppose he would have, you know, if he'd not been executed, I'm sure he would have turned up in court defiant.
I mean, look at the what's his face, you know, Karadzic, probably Radovan Karadzic, yeah.
Yeah,
you know, look at him and the farce surrounding his trial. I mean, more so than Saddam's trial, to be honest with you. I mean, you know, Saddam's trial was a farce because it was not really a trial, was it? It was a kangaroo court almost. Whereas, you know, with Karadzic's trial, it was made into a farce by Karadzic. So, I take your point on board, Trevor. I said that it would have been maybe for show, but I mean, I think hopefully, I would like to think that justice should properly be served and should go through a process rather than just some guy deciding.
I didn't hear that he was taken from a hole in the ground.
Putting a bullet in his head.
Is that true?
Well, it's a storm drain, basically.
Storm drain, yeah. I've seen pictures of the storm drain, and basically we're still talking about speculation until the true facts are known. That's what it is. But more and more is emerging now that it looks like he was executed.
That just sounds like a sketch that's been set up where Gaddafi just goes underground and says, "Ha ha, I'm a fleeing dictator hiding from his own people. I know, I'll just go in a little underground hole. That never ended badly for anyone. Oh no, wait a minute."
But you know, desperate times, he always appeared defiant, but at some stage, no matter how loose your grip on reality, you're going to have to realise that you are no longer in power and that they're knocking on your door.
You meet them all again on the way down. He just found that out, I think.
Exactly.
Although, what a great 24 hours for Sarkozy. This is like...
becoming a father?
He just became a father again. Got a brand new daughter in the last 24 hours.
Hang on, I thought it was his first.
I thought it was his first as well.
I thought he had kids from his previous marriage, or were they his stepchildren from a previous marriage?
They may have been I'm sure. I've said that, seen the headline that it was his first. Which, for a Frenchman of his age, is, you know...
First legitimate child.
I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people using him as a data point for abstinence, as a method.
But yeah, as well as that, last night he negotiated basically a stay of execution for the euro, and then today the conflict that the French have been leading support for have finally found their number one bad guy. The day could not get any better for the man, surely, unless he develops superpowers. That's just...
Yeah, he is doing quite well.
Good day.
You know, do you think the French would have been as uncouth as the Americans when, you know, with this war in Libya, you know, put together a deck of cards, each one with a different bad guy on? You know, would Gaddafi have been the ace of spades? No?
No.
There wasn't that many bad guys, was there? They'd probably done a bull set or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Or being French, they just shrugged their shoulders and gone, meh.
Whoa. Okay, Steve. I keep on forgetting about Steve's xenophobia towards the French, so okay, we'll move
Steve's
on.
Steve's casual
quickly.
Racism this week.
This week.
Oh, they probably take off the string of onions around their neck, pop it in the beret.
Get off the bike.
Munch some garlic.
And all their ambulances going, hee-haw, hee-haw, hee-haw. Yeah, dear. We apologise for anybody.
The white flags.
Anybody remotely connected
with their beret.
Brilliant. So, but we're not going to talk about France or rugby, okay, Steve?
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
So, let us move on.
What about Irishmen with French parentage?
Okay, well...
No, we're not... No. Irishmen with French parentage. No, we're not going to do that one either.
Oh, damn.
Okay. I've got a story that I'd like to do.
Yeah, go for it.
Cool. Rugby. Warren Gatland said the other day, sorry, Mac, but Wales considered faking injury in defeat to France. The Wales coach, Warren Gatland, was so incensed with what he felt was an unjust red card shown to his captain, Sam Warburton, early in the first half that he considered retaliating by cheating and ordering a prop to fake an injury so that scrums would have become uncontested. Now, do you actually believe him when he says that? What do you guys think about that?
Well, I think if he really thought about it, he would have done it, surely.
I disagree with that. I think he probably did think about it.
Yeah.
Because I think there's more cheating goes on in rugby than we like to give it credit for, unfortunately. Okay, I know the whole Bloodgate thing came out and caused a controversy, you know, back 18 months ago. And you'd like to think that rugby is a clean sport, a gentleman's game. But, you know, when it comes to winning the top prizes in the world, you know, I think people are going to have to struggle hard not to consider doing it because the rules allow that abuse to happen.
Well,
so,
I don't really know.
But he didn't take that.
Sure.
Go on, Trav, sorry.
So, I don't really know totally how it works. I never watched a single game of rugby before 2005. So there's
basically
plenty of stuff I don't understand. But I did notice in that game, there was an awful lot of diving going on. There were Frenchmen dashing themselves to the ground at the slightest thing and then standing up again and pointing at the ground and asking the ref. And most of the time, he was ignoring it. So maybe Warren Gatland making this statement, he's not actually saying anything about the tactics he was considering. What he is saying is, this kind of thing happens.
And I think that's exactly the point. I think that's exactly what he was saying. I think there's an issue there that he was incensed over the red card. Because, you know, as a coach, surely you would be, and you train the team for, you know, in his case, you know, for months leading up to this tournament. It's the pinnacle, they're performing above all expectations, and suddenly it's dashed by a careless decision from a referee. He's going to be feeling pretty frustrated, and he's going to be thinking, well, what can I do to redress that injustice? And, you know, it's bound to cross his mind. You know, it's whether you act on that sets you apart.
So what do you think morally now about the concept of gamesmanship, this idea of playing the referee, breaking the rules as far as you can go, in the idea that all the other teams are going to break the rules,
yeah,
so that if you don't do it...
Well, the problem with rugby in particular, more so I think than other sports, is that the rules are so vastly open to
interpretation
from the referees, and each referee interprets it very differently, because, you know, most referees, I believe, would have given a yellow card for that tackle from Warburton, but within the laws of the game, Alan Roland was perfectly justified in giving that red card, and we can't complain about that, because at the end of the day, the sanction was there and he just merely did it. But he's known for being cantankerous and a stickler, whereas other referees let things go. I mean, the match following, the one of the players clearly punched one of the other players in the face right in front of the referee. The referee didn't do anything. So, you know, there is inconsistency where the game...
Well, I don't know, because I'd rather be punched in the face than dropped on my head.
But still, in the rules of the game, that's a sending off.
Yes, oh, if those are the only two choices available.
Yeah.
It's not a true dichotomy,
yeah.
I apologise.
It's at least a penalty, is my point, and nothing was given. So I'm just highlighting the inconsistency in the referee and
standards. But you can say that within the rules, that referee was wrong, whereas you can't say that in this case. That's
exactly, yeah, you know. So, I think there has to be an element of gamesmanship, because you have to understand what each referee is willing to...
But is it not immoral, though? Is it not?
Well, no, I don't think so. Because
purposely
what you're doing is you
go out and cheat.
No, I don't think so. Because what you're doing is you find out what the referee will or will not accept. And if the referee accepts it, it's not cheating. Because the referee is the arbiter of the rules on the pitch.
Well, I don't know, because what? Yeah, but you're assuming that the referee's ignoring it. It could be the referee didn't see it. So where does that stand morally? If you do something, like you punch someone in the face or gouge someone, no one sees it, does that mean it's okay?
Well, that's why you have a citing commissioner, and that's why you get cited afterwards if the referee misses it.
Trev, you got any...
I mean, in terms of punching, gouging, anything like that, I would be totally against that. That just is, as far as I'm concerned, it's heinous. You should never, ever do that. On the pitch, gouging in particular is particularly disgusting. But in terms of going offside or going over the top of a ruck or coming in from the sides of a mall to test what the referee is going to give, perfectly acceptable.
Trev?
That whole first half, it seemed like they were playing on an ice rink or something. You know, whenever they showed a slowed down replay of something immediately afterwards, and they, whenever a player tried to stop, there was just no hope. They were skidding all over the place. So to say you get a red card for that because you absolutely intended to pick up a man and plant him on his head, nobody, if they had intended to do that, would have been able to ensure that they could. I think it's far more likely that he went for a lift, which is probably a yellow card thing, but, you know, it went a little bit too far and he ended up nearly planting the guy like a post.
Yeah, and, you know, the other thing which you've got to take into account, like I said, you know, you can't argue with a red card. It's there in the rules. But, you know, the other thing which could be said is that, you know, simple physics took over at the end of the day. You've got a sort of 11 stone man coming up against a 16, 17 stone man who stood his ground. The other guy's sprinting into him. This is the rock and the hard place, you know. He's going to get smashed.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, in football, it seems like whenever there's an issue, you could flip a coin. But whenever it's rugby, you need, like, a dice. Or, like, D8.
A 10-sided dice. Yeah. Right, yeah.
Because there's so many different things. Not only going to go either way, but is it going to be a line-out or a scrum or a penalty or something? God knows.
Well, I wouldn't say that's random. I think Trev's showing his sort of ignorance of the game.
Oh yeah, I've got no idea.
But somebody who doesn't watch the game, and that's
No. I didn't mean it. Why do people always take the word ignorance as a pejorative? No, I mean he's just.
Oh no, I didn't take it. As a,
yeah. No. But Steve leapt to your defence valiantly.
No, absolutely. I've got no idea what to expect, but I can see that Warren Gatland was pissed off that the guy wasn't consistent because he can be one way or another. But he didn't see that as him being consistent during the game. And I don't think he was saying we were thinking about faking an injury, flapping our arms and causing a big fuss. What he's saying is the bloody French were doing it all the time.
Yeah, I think it was a very thinly veiled dig at the ref, to be honest with you, rather than a genuine we were going to cheat statement.
Yeah,
I think it was more of a barb at the referee. To say, well, look, you know, the rules could allow us to do this, because technically, if you lose your front row through to injury, you'd get uncontested scrums. That's the way it goes. So, you know, within the laws of the game, they could have done that, but you know, they didn't.
Trev, what were your thoughts on gamesmanship? You know, just trying to keep this highbrow now, rather than just to turn it into robbed
and away from the actual rules of rugby, so that I can sound like I know what I'm on about.
Well, in football, gamesmanship is, you know...
I know the rules of football.
All right. How would you describe gamesmanship in a non-sporting way, Steve?
In a non-sporting way?
That's adhering to the spirit rather than just the rules, isn't it?
No, it's taking the piss as much as possible before you start getting penalised.
Yeah.
Right. So in other words,
it's how far can you bend the rules before you get penalised for it.
So the idea would be that you could, what would happen is you'd start the game and you'd intentionally try and get an advantage by breaking the rules. And only when the referee then says, right, if you do that again, I'm going to penalise you, you then stop, for instance. Yeah. Do you think that should be considered part of the game, morally, or do you think that it should be reprehensible?
I really, yeah.
You don't care, do you?
I can't have, no. That's the problem. I haven't got enough of a will to make an opinion about it. I can't come to a decision. If I'm actually playing a game, I'd like to, you know, work out who I'm playing against early on. But all this sports stuff, you need to have these topics undecided and open. Otherwise, sports commentators have nothing to talk about. And you know how hard they find it to fill the air with their ridiculous comments.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about any commentary, Steve. We're going to move on.
I was
before we start talking about ITV commentary.
Well, so you started me off then.
No. Sorry.
I wasn't sure where you were going with it, and now you've just mentioned that. That's it, you've opened up a whole can of worms.
It's going to take me hours to calm him down after this now. Right.
I'll leave it at that.
I think my point has been made. Yeah.
What I'm going to do now is we've been talking for, well, 20-ish minutes. So I'm going to give us a little break with Spot the Fake.
Yay!
Now this week, I don't want to build it up too much, but this, I think, is honestly the best Spot the Fake we've had, or we're going to have. Okay, so
that we're going to have as well. So from here on in, it's just downhill.
No. Sorry, you're right. In your,
we reached the pinnacle. This is the last one.
Shit. No. Even if it's true, I wouldn't want to say
better
that.
Be the last one.
No, this one will go down in history as the best so far. Next week, people will be talking about this. Shit, I built this up now. Here we go. And I just want to pick up on an error that was made again by Steve last week.
But I still got it right at the end of the day.
Oh, Jesus.
No. About you said last week, no, Trevor didn't get it right. No, I was referring to the Alton Towers one. You got it right geographically, and he got it right because of Mike Hunt. So I was right last week when I said that you both got it right and I lost a point. So again, Steve substituted his reality for ours.
Yeah, well, I've still got more points than Trevor.
Here we go.
Sorry, Trev.
Story...
It's my victory.
It's more points than John is what I want.
Well, let's see, because I think this would actually take you ahead of me. Story number one. US science news. The old wives' tale that masturbation can make you go blind may have some truth to it after all. Scientists at a California medical institute have published a meta-study looking at instances of eye and neurological disorders in conjunction with men's sexual habits. We found no significant correlation between how frequently men engage in sexual intercourse and neurological health, said Dr. Henry Palmer, lead author of the paper. However, men who engaged in self-gratification more than twice a week were found to be at a six-fold increase of eye-related diseases. Although the results are statistically significant and the sample size considerable, many other, more sceptical scientists have attacked the research methodology, claiming the correlation to be the result of data mining anomalies. I thought that was funny as fuck, but, you know, obviously, it's too geeky for you. Story number two, US technology news.
Possibly best, when no laughs occur. Not to mention that people should have been pissing. You know, that's okay.
Technology news. You laugh later when you listen back to it and go, ha, that was actually a lot funnier than I thought.
You can enter it in. It's fine.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
On three, Trevor. Let's have a laugh, okay?
Yeah, one, two, three.
Okay.
All right.
Good one, John. Good one, John.
Oh, John, it's the funniest thing you've ever said.
Wanky meteor blind, you'd have thought it.
Okay. US technology news. A Seattle...
Who said that?
US technology news. A Seattle-based eBay seller is asking $1 million for a Civil War era photo that he claims is evidence that actor Nicolas Cage is a vampire. The seller, who goes by the name Jack Maud, said the photo depicts a man nearly identical to the Oscar-winning actor. Personally, I believe it's him, and that he is some sort of walking undead vampire, etc., who quickens and reinvents himself once every 75 years, the online seller wrote on an eBay posting. 150 years from now, he might be a politician, the leader of a cult, or a talk show host. My theory is that he allows himself to age to a certain point, maybe 70 or 80 or so. Then the actor, Nicolas Cage, dies. But in reality, the undead vampire, Nicolas Cage, will have rejuvenated himself and appeared in some other part of the world, young again and ready to start all over.
I so hope that is true. I really hope that's true.
Story number three. UK science news. It sounds as though Sleepless Nights could be a thing of the past thanks to Marconi Union, a musical trio from Manchester. They have created a song called Weightless, which has become, officially, the most relaxing song ever. That is the verdict of the boffins, who say that it's sustaining rhythm and harmonic intervals, the absence of a repeated melody, and the use of whooshing sounds and hums, all combined to make the perfect oral narcoleptic. It is so effective that drivers are being warned not to put it on their car's stereo. Lest you think the relaxation quotient of a song is in the ear of the beholder, the scientists say otherwise, claiming with admirable precision that Weightless is 11% more soporific than any other song. Scientists at MindLab International, an independent research consultancy based in the Sussex Innovation Centre, tested subjects to record the subconscious physical responses to listening to Weightless versus other music and massages. The study was funded by Radox. Okay. All three a little long-winded. Sorry about that, but I had to do the stories justice. And whose turn is it to go first this week? It's Stephen's.
No, it's Trev's this week. I went first last week.
All right, Trev. It's down to you, buddy.
Okay. What was the first
one? So the first one...
Wanking makes you blind.
Wanking. Yeah, that's true.
Because you're blind.
Well, I think that... well, I just think the way that you're saying it, it's a meta study that somebody has done, and it appears to show that. And then you say that somebody else has said, no, this is just data mining. Well, that kind of stuff happens all the time when it's a subject like that. And, yeah, I'll buy that that was in a paper. And the second one as well. It's just too beautiful a story. I want it to be true. And so does Nicolas Cage. The man is a geek. He's a comic book freak. And he would love for there to be a lunatic out there who believes that he's a vampire. So
on 75-year recycling.
Yeah, it's the last one. The last one is the... it sounds like a trans science article.
Ooh,
to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stephen.
I've got to go with Trev, to be honest with you. For almost exactly the same reasons that... that the first one I could plausibly see being true because, you know, people cherry pick the data. So I can kind of see that because, you know, they're probably thinking I'm a bit of a gag as well. So let's do this. The second one is just genius. And I really want it to be true. Even if it's not true, I really, really want it to be true because it's amazing. And the third one was, just remind me again.
Not that he's actually
he's actually a vampire,
actually.
No, but just this is some guy believes that he's a vampire. And I actually want to see the photograph so I can see the likeness, to be honest with you. And what was the third one again?
The third one was
the 11% more
relaxing.
That's it.
That was it. And that, Trev, you've just hit the point for me, which I think for me makes it less likely to be true, is that it's 11% more soporific than any other song.
Yeah. Oh, come on.
You know, how long have they been doing the research for? So I'm going to go for number three with Trev being
Lyra. Like that Eddie Izzard thing. We're 20% more funny tonight than we were last night. How can you check? You can't check.
Exactly. So I'm with Trev this week on... funnily enough, this week I haven't actually seen any of the stories in the news either. So.
I have actually seen the Nicolas Cage one. A while ago.
Ah, there we go.
Ah, okay. I'm glad you guys are playing as opposition. So, you know, you're not trying to give each other clues. No, but, okay, so you're both gone for number three.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Trev had a valid point saying, you know, sounds very trans science-y. Unfortunately, the quality of trans science has gone up because number one was the fake.
Oh!
Seriously, guys, masturbation makes you go blind. Dr. Henry Palmer... Harry Palmer. On, guys. Yeah. But no, seriously, these people, well, Radox funded a study.
Yeah.
Why are you not surprised by that?
No, I thought that was your tidbit of reality thrown in there to make us believe it was true.
No, but what happened when they say that it was 11% more soporific, it's because they have played other songs to people.
Yeah.
And this one was apparently how they got reached that 11%. I'm not sure. Did they sleep 11% longer, or
are you not aware of the equations that transform drowsiness into numbers?
No, sorry, it's an area of science that I just haven't looked into. You know, call me ignorant. But you know, it was such a ridiculous science story. I thought, yeah, that would belong on trans science, but no, unfortunately. Masturbation giving you eyesight problems, guys. I mean, seriously.
But
the thing. If somebody was data mining and they found something pointing towards that, they would publish.
When you read it out, my initial reaction was, this is going to be fake. Right. Yeah, that was my initial reaction. Because it is ridiculous. And then I thought, well, you know, I wear glasses. And
you masturbate a lot.
I thought, maybe there is something in this. and then... just that final story, just for it was the 11% thing was the clincher for me. That was what made me think that's got to be nonsense. Got to be nonsense. So well done, John, for befuddling us this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And bad karma there on Radox. Well, no karma. but what are Radox thinking? 11%. Bloody hell. I know it's not their job to maintain scientific credibility, but fuck me. Just astonishing.
But, you know, I think the Nicolas Cage story, right? If ever you needed to give someone an example of how real life can be more bizarre than something you can make up, I could never dream of making a story like that up.
It's just amazing.
It's just pure genius.
Have you got a copy of the photo that I can have a look at?
Nugget of
I don't shit. Have the photo here, but you can Google it later and you will see his picture. And damn, he looks like Nicolas Cage.
He does
look like Nicolas Cage, except very Civil War. He's got the longer sideburns, bigger hair.
Well, when did the Coppolas move to the New World?
So, absolute genius.
His great-great-granddad or something.
I've got a story, and I just wanted to knock it out. I don't know how long we're going to spend on it.
Okay. After the story you just made up, are you sure you want to phrase it like that?
I meant knock it out as in, you know, just not, you know, baseball terminology.
Okay.
This is off of our friend, you know, our dear friend, PZ Myers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey.
Off of his Pharyngula, this story. Now, this is just such typical of politicians that I had to, you know, bring this to people's attention. And the title was, Why Even Bother Consulting Other Scientists At All? So what happened was a group of scientists have authored an environmental report publicizing, they're now publicizing the changes the Texas State Administration tried to impose on it. So what happened was they published a report talking about climate change and, you know, bad stuff happening in the environment in Texas, and they got censored. And guess who's to blame? Rick Perry. And what happened was his minions edited the report to remove all mention of climate change, and also, well, just to basically make it sound like everything's tickety-boo, we don't have anything to worry about, keep on filling your car up with gas. Unfortunately, the scientists weren't happy, and they went batshit crazy, and took all their names off the paper, and this is probably going to be a very large PR disaster for Rick Perry.
As so it should be.
Oh, thank
you. Can you believe
yeah.
that? So, there you go. What a twat. I mean, really, I mean, you paid scientists to go and give you a report, and when they give you the report, you don't like it, you change it? How screwed up in the head do you have to be that you want to substitute your reality for someone else's?
Well, it happened a little shop, didn't it? Let's face it, it happened here with the drug chap, wasn't it? Last
Professor
year.
Nutt.
Professor Nutt.
Oh, David Nutt.
You know, saying,
here's the evidence. Ah, no, we don't like it. It doesn't agree with our
you're
policy.
Fired.
You're fired. One, yeah. So, yeah, what a bunch of idiots. Well, next time, don't bother phoning the scientists. Save yourself a load of money. Just phone
just
up a psychic hotline. Ask them.
Yeah. Psychic Sally, what's happening?
Yeah, phone them up. Oh, okay, what's your name? Rick Perry. Do you like pollution? Yes, you do. Oh, don't worry about it then. That's if I was a psychic, that's what I'd do. Okay.
Got me sold.
We're not going to talk about Psychic Sally. I don't want to be brought up on libel charges. Talking of libel, breaking news.
Yeah.
Dawkins. Been sued for libel. A name was mentioned, but... Oh, have you not heard this?
No.
David Alan Green, who you unfortunately missed, I believe, Trev, because you were too busy trying to make people laugh down the road.
No, I saw David
Oh,
Alan
no,
Green.
You were there.
Do you remember?
Oh, yeah.
I complimented him on his balls out stance whenever he's addressing the crowd.
Oh, that was
and,
it, yeah.
and he thought for a second and said, so you're interested
then,
in my balls?
He decided instantly
and I said,
that you
well,
were
well,
a
yeah. He's yeah. just a brilliant guy to listen to. He tells a fantastic story. But he has got this stance, which I'm sure is very useful for a lawyer addressing a courtroom and a judge and everything. Just listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. Kind of a stance. And it's commanding, but it makes him look like he has unfeasibly large testicles. But possibly he does.
Well, posted
you
on
see,
the
now
jacket.
I've broadcast my interest in man's genesis.
Yeah. Jack of Kent, his alter ego, published the news that Richard Dawkins is being sued for libel. And what I'm going to do, briefly, if that's okay, I will bring up the story. Because I honestly thought that you'd heard this. Okay, here it is. The story is Richard Dawkins, full name Clinton Richard Dawkins. Poor guy. No, I wouldn't want to use the name Clinton. And the Richard Dawkins Foundation for Science and Reason, and Amazon UK, and Vaughan John Jones are being sued for libel by businessman Christopher McGrath and his company MCG Production Limited. Now, I went and did the cursory Googling of these things, and I can't see any... I can't find out any information. So I'm very sorry that I have to give you a dumper story on you and then say I got nothing to say about it. Obviously, no one wants to talk about it because they don't want to get dragged into the libel
case. Maybe just as well to say, get libeled for life.
Well, okay, let's talk about an incredibly litigious guy who's so pissed off about something we would never have heard about if he hadn't sued them in the first place.
Yeah. Clint so let's just open the floor to wild speculation. No, let's not.
No, I'll take a pass on that one.
Okay.
I know what you're thinking. Did I disprove six gods or only five? That's so cool.
I can't believe you just compared Richard Dawkins to Dirty Harry.
Oh, it's great.
I think you actually need to email Richard Dawkins now just to tell him that, to be honest.
Just to apologise.
Just to apologise in advance. Please don't sue me for libel, saying that you're a
Dirty Harry.
Amoral bloody bloodhound. Because when was the last time you watched Dirty Harry, the first one?
Years and years and years ago.
About three years ago, I think.
Yeah, yeah. But the guy... If he was actually a real cop, he would be in prison because
was a real cop, he'd be dealing with the protesters at Occupy Wall Street. Because at the moment, they're just beating the shit out of people first and asking questions later. There. Yeah.
Hmm. And are they torturing people?
Pounding people in the head that are walking away from them and stuff. There's footage of them behaving dreadfully. But then there was a story that Christopher Nolan is moving his production of The Dark Knight Rises to New York City and to the Occupy Wall Street protests. And there's going to be a lot of police corruption in the storyline. So, I don't know, maybe the guy was just rehearsing?
Perhaps.
Or maybe it was... It wasn't a policeman, just an extra from the film.
Has the Met been over there giving lessons in how to police crowds?
Yeah. Well, the guy in the footage that I saw, he was behaving like somebody who hadn't seen a day's work since The Sopranos stopped filming. That's a tubby, very handy fella. Just pissed off at everyone. Terrifying to think he's got a gun on his hip.
Talking about cops with power going to their heads... Some poor lowly travellers had to give up their patch of grass so that... Oh, hang on. What did they have to give it up for again?
Because the council told them they couldn't build there.
It was all illegal and had been proved illegal 10 years ago, and it's taken this long to get around to actually getting bailiffs in.
But they couldn't get any bailiffs in, so what they did was they just...
sent the next person in, the police.
What happened was they just went online... into a forum to find some of the most bloodthirsty teenagers they could and said, hey, do you want to wear a uniform and brandish a taser?
It was an EDL march.
They just told them they were all white Muslims.
I'm sure there's lots of people who listen who are part of the sceptical community, right? And if you're not in Britain, then this is a weird thing. It's a community of travellers, and they apparently owned a piece of land, but they weren't supposed to build on it. And they did. And it's been 10 years coming, and they've finally been evicted. But the last time I was, we were at Skeptics in the Pub, there were people, some people were saying about the law, and some people were saying about these people's rights and stuff. But is nobody thinking about the traveller culture? Although I don't know that any of this has gone on at Dale Farm, but the exclusion of the police and outside interests and the massive reduction of women's rights that goes on and the fact that it was used to cover up slavery for 20 years in a different site. Now, I'm not saying that any of these things are going on at Dale Farm, but there are other people's rights to consider. Why does everybody immediately say, just because the police are going in, that we must support the other guy? You know, if we're looking for evidence, well, the skeptical community is supposed to be based on evidence, not just because the police are having to go at them, I'll support the little guy.
But I think it's possibly due to the fact that police have been known to use disproportionate force when dealing with such people. And I guess, really, from the point of view, is possibly seen, I don't necessarily agree with this, as almost a form of ethnic cleansing, I suppose. Just driving them out of the area. We don't want them here. It's what they call the NIMBYs, isn't it? Not in my backyard. We don't want them here, so drive them out elsewhere. And, you know, the people who end up having to do that are the police.
Hmm. And by no means do I think that these people are, you know, just this... I'm not like some kind of like old ye old, you know, travelling in a little you know, horse drawn carriage, wouldn't say boo to a goose. I'm, you know, I've heard plenty of stories about some of the behaviour. But I just think that there's very little leeway as far as the council and their approach towards the travellers, because obviously they're gonna take a hard line because all the other residents want them to take a hard line. And I just think that there's been no leeway, and that's what has annoyed me about it, really.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you know, nobody's one way or the other on it, because it is a complicated subject, and I don't think people should be ranting when nobody could possibly know what all the factors are. In fact, talking about David Alan Green again, sounding like his stalker, he did an article in, I think it was the New Statesman, and he was just saying apparently they're going to go and use tasers when the police move in. And the police just aren't accountable in our country, and maybe they should be. And that was a kind of guarded piece as well. You know, yeah. Not really wanting to come down one way or the other, but yeah, maybe we should have this in place just in case.
Yeah, you know, I guess I have to say, really, that the law has passed a judgment. So whether, you know, we agree with it or not, yeah, you know, you have to abide by that, I suppose.
Hmm. I want to just stick with what Trev said, which is quite interesting, and that's about responsibility. In you know, discharging your duties. Now, obviously, you know, the police are basically you know, the face of the law, and it's their job to enforce it. And a lot of people will give them some kind of, you know, they'll give them the police sympathy, because they say, well, this guy, you know, he works hard, and it's easy to make a mistake and things like that. However, that doesn't translate into other vocations, where, because people aren't given slack. If someone makes a mistake in the private sector and there's some kind of damage or, you know, harm to other people, people expect that person to be held responsible. I think the police need to be held responsible on an individual level as well. Officers, yeah. And this goes back to PC Harwood and his actions.
Yeah.
It's all well everybody saying, well, you know, it was all, everyone was very excited that day, you know, everyone was tense, you know, you have a job to perform.
It's all the more reason you to keep a lid on it, isn't it?
Yeah, you have a job to perform, and, you know, just because it's your job, just because something goes bad, doesn't mean you get to say, well, you know, I was just doing my job. I'm not, you know, people do need to take...
And for that reason, I think any of those police who are in the riots taped over their numbers, if any of those could be identified, I think they should lose their job.
No, definitely. 100% agree with that.
Because it's clearly avoiding accountability whether or not they do anything wrong.
Yeah. Even if they ended up just bunking off and going to have a fag somewhere, it doesn't matter. They were, you know, it's...
Yeah.
So that would be gamesmanship, right?
Yeah. That would be gamesmanship.
I don't think a judge would call it gamesmanship, because a judge would just say, you covered up your number, you go into prison. If they weren't protected. And
well, you'd
didn't end up in front of a
so how many of those police who covered up their numbers got sent to prison?
None, as far as I'm aware.
Gamesmanship, isn't it? They got away with it.
Yeah. So will they keep on doing it? That's the question.
They will keep on doing it until someone gets caught doing it.
So, the PC Harwood thing, there's been a slight development, but we will be talking about it in November, I believe. Is it November or next year? I can't remember. But he's now going to be going through another court process. That's it.
Okay.
Well, I've got a cool story.
A cool story?
Oh, it's great. Well, it's kind of dreadful and appalling. But apparently in America, if you go down to the woods today, you're sure of a big surprise. In fact, you'll find Bengal tigers, lions, cheetahs, wolves, giraffes, camels, grizzly bears, and a monkey still on the loose in the woods.
These are all the animals that escaped from a zoo.
Yeah, well, this guy had a private preserve, apparently, well, they can't really work out what he did, because when they found him, some animals had been at his body.
Ah.
There's an assumption that he let all the cages, unlocked all the cages, and then shot himself in the face. But They can't be sure of that. It'll take a while.
I don't know. You see, this is the problem I find with these stories. If no one gives monkeys, okay, the credit for their intelligence. I personally think a monkey broke out, shot the man, and made it look like suicide, and let all the other animals out.
Have you been watching that pirate copy
of the Apes.
Rise of the Planet of the Apes again?
Oh, yeah, I have actually. Sorry, carry on, Trev. That was my conspiracy theory of the evening.
Oh, dear. Well, at a nearby moose lodge, Bill Weiser remembered the owner, Thompson, as an interesting character who flew planes, raced boats, and owned a custom motorcycle shop that also sold guns.
A motorcycle shop that sells guns.
That also sold guns. And I think that's your answer for why he had all these bloody weird animals. People aren't buying enough guns. I know. I'll buy a lion and let it loose a couple of times a year. That'll make him buy some more fucking guns. Only in America. I bet it worked. I bet you won't find a single person in that town who hasn't got a shotgun.
No, Trev's going for the conspiracy story then.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Oh, that's conspiracy.
I love it.
That's just one crazy lunatic fella who thinks it's a great idea to have.
Or maybe it's just the fact he had his own private zoo. And didn't actually let the animals out, but just had his own private zoo.
So he didn't let his animals out. So which one of the animals developed the
ability to
keys?
I told you, the monkey.
I think that's a big...
No, no, but that's the point. That's the point of the story, isn't it? He didn't let the animals out, and then he decided to commit suicide. And he had a terrible change of conscience, so decided to shoot himself in the face, but let all the animals out first of all.
I just had this vision of a monkey wiping the prints off the gun before pushing it in his hands. Okay. Before you carry on with another story, I've got the new regular feature, which is Steve made his mind up this week.
Oh, that's bullying, man.
It is bullying, and as I told you last week, no, I was
no,
not
you said you wanted it to be a regular feature.
I never.
And then after, you said you might do a blog post, which you didn't do.
No, I didn't, but, you know, I'm not
going to
do
it
well
this week, or are we going to carry this on?
Stop bullying me.
John, what do you really think is going to happen if every time he comes over, there's this annoying voice in his ear who's constantly causing him pain and anger?
No, she's gone to bed now.
Oh.
No, it's just, you know, I'm the voice of the fans.
This one will
fans.
Be edited.
I'm the voice of the fans, so, you know. And you did
what,
say...
You're going to say to him, so do you think there's a devil? Do you? Do you think there's a devil?
I did say to you that I was going to consider writing a blog post. As it happened, I haven't had the time or the energy to do it. So,
okay.
No.
Well, right. You could say, and I did that. I considered it, and I thought, nah.
So there you go, folks. Tune in. Check out the blog. This is Stephen's way of getting more people to the blog, see?
That is, yeah. I would just like to write a blog post. I just, I'm
hit
quite
the
busy
blog
the
every
moment.
Day. You never know.
There you go. So I thought he was just goading me by not writing the blog post. That he had some clever answer ready for me this week.
I gave you my answer last week off air.
Yeah, I'll write a blog post, but you didn't.
I actually gave you the answer and then said I'll put it into a blog post.
Okay.
In all fairness, didn't I?
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So shut up.
Yeah. Ooh.
And actually, yeah, John, I would hope that if we're gonna embody the character of the whole podcast, which is skeptics and a guy with religious beliefs, we can get on very well, and it doesn't matter what we believe. Well, clearly it does, because you're saying, what do you believe? That sounds weird.
Whoa, hang on a second. No. Because I'd just like to put out there that at no point have I ever said that, and I think it'd be quite foolish to say that, because week on, week out, we come on this podcast and we actually condemn other people for their actions because of their beliefs. And none of us here has not done that. So therefore, I believe everyone is accountable. So whether you think it's trivial or not, I don't think it matters. Well, remember, this all stemmed from the fact that I know somebody who's on Facebook who thinks it's perfectly acceptable to tell her children that they deserve to go to hell. So I think these things do matter. And, you know, I was just trying to keep it lighthearted, but you know, I can play the serious game as well. These things do matter. So on that
doesn't
light
matter
note,
to me, John.
Well, that was my original point. If there's some guy out there tiptoeing around. I'm gonna leave the lid off the butter. The missus is gonna kill him. If there's someone doing that shit, we need to know about it. Because if I was the devil, that's the kind of shit I'd be doing. I wouldn't want to give myself away. I wouldn't want to be, you know, bringing on any old Armageddon.
Would you leave her footprints in the butter?
No, the thing is...
Yeah, you'd leave tattoos on the heads of children, but they'd be 3 9s just to piss people off.
But, you know, I just think if I was the devil, I would actually... I wouldn't want the hooves, because they can't be very good. You know, can't be very comfortable. You know, for a start, you can't buy fucking shoes, right? So, I would carry around a hoof, like taken off a horse or something, to put in the butter.
Yeah.
You know, just to dab it in the butter, you know, freak people out.
So, having a go at condiments and kitchen items is as far as you're prepared to go. Apart from horse mutilation, up for a bit of that.
No, I was going to take it. No. Because I was going to take it off an already dead horse. You know, I wouldn't kill him.
Just corpse fondling.
I would be the worst Satan ever because I'm up for mischief, but I just couldn't do any of the nasty shit.
Okay, so you just hide in the shadows and you'd say boo, but then if somebody's really shitting themselves, you go make them a cup of tea.
Yeah, I'd be too scared in case they had a heart attack or something. I'd be like, oh, I don't want to freak him out too much. Old guy, ooh, leave him alone.
You'd be so, red with the
help this old lady cross the road.
Sorry, settle down. Just having a bit of a lark.
I'd be really shit Satan. People would find me in a bar crying, going, I'm so misunderstood. I just like to play practical jokes. In fact, I actually believe that there was a Satan, but unfortunately he's now gone. His name was Jeremy Beadle. And I think if there's anybody that embodied that personality, it was Jeremy Beadle.
Is that so a hoof joke about his crap hand?
Because no, it was not.
That's horrible. You're just
and it's the mind that go. No, it's the mind it goes into. So I think you need to, you know, punish yourself for that one. I was just thinking that some of his practical jokes bordered on real heart attack territory. Yeah. I think, you know, and that was just the time when he painted a double yellow line over someone's car. Never mind the fact that he crushed someone's pride and joy in a car crusher and stuff like that.
Oh, the car, right.
Yeah. Jeremy Beadle, you are sorely missed. And he ended up his career on an Anton Deck show, for fuck's sake.
Did he?
Yeah. Do you want anyone to do a serious story now?
Well, I was going to say, you know, talking to Mongos.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, talk amongst yourselves a second.
Okay. Is Ricky Gervais right to, I use this in inverted commas, reclaim the word Mongo? Or Mong, or its derivative.
No, I don't think that. I don't think we're ready for that. I don't think there's anything intrinsic about the word that means we'll never be able to use it. But I really don't think that our nation is kind of enlightened enough. I don't think we're past that yet. I wouldn't feel comfortable making it using the word. If I was in a place just with mates that I knew very well, and I used it or they used it, and everybody understood that, oh my God, we certainly don't want to use it offensively, then that's fine. Because I really think that it's only the thought behind it that matters. But when you're actually in a position of influence like Gervais is, he's kind of lending respectability to the word. He's making it acceptable again.
Yes.
So the guys down the pub who actually will shout that after somebody
now have a license to use it.
Yeah. And they'll say, it's all right, Gervais uses it.
Although, in all fairness, Gervais, and to kind of defending him, he is very clear when he says, I am not referring to Down syndrome people when I say it. Hmm. And he's very clear about that, and he's been very clear about it in everything he said. I see, you know, he's quite clear he's using it as a term in its modern sense, in, you know, modern slang dictionaries, as it means a bit of an idiot, a bit of an idiot, really, a bit of a dope. I don't know. I was thinking of John Elliott. It kind of just brings back to me the memories of I don't know if you've seen Clarks 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. When he tries to reclaim Porch Monkey. Yeah. And you know, it just kind of reminds me of that, really. And you know, when the black couple with their child do walk into the shop, and he says, you know, what can I get? A little porch monkey, and just the outrage look on the father's and mother's face as he says it. You know, I think just kind of says it all, really. That whilst, yeah, sure, you know, Ricky Gervais, go ahead, say it. I do think maybe now is not necessarily the right time to be reclaiming the word. I'm not necessarily sure there is going to be a time where you're going to be able to reclaim it, but.
I think maybe the thing that makes me feel uncomfortable about it is that it's not just Ricky Gervais, the bloke, using it. It's on the communication network of Twitter, and that is meant to communicate with lots and lots of people.
The masses, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a saturation of the word mom now in the Twitterverse.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a good thing. It just makes me feel uncomfortable. Well, I'm still like open to change my opinion on using words like, I don't know, spaz or mental or something.
Well, you see, I'm actually maybe going to go the other way with you guys. I think that I just don't like... I'm for equality for everybody, and everybody been afforded the respect. However, I have a serious aversion to people that try and shut down language, because language is used in ideas, and it's used in comedy. And I think as soon as we start limiting it,
sure, but I'm not saying he shouldn't be allowed to, just that I think it's a bad idea for him to have done.
Sure. But, you know, if there's this... everyone's got the right, obviously, to be offended and to say that they think he's a dick, and, you know, that's their freedom, and his freedom is saying it. But you'll never hear me censor myself.
That is true.
Yeah, exactly. You know. Now, I don't use the word mong because I don't find it useful. I prefer to say, if an idiot is an idiot, call him an idiot. And I think Richard Herring said that one, didn't he?
Yeah.
You know, you use the word that's appropriate. But there's probably a lot of words that I probably use that I think are appropriate, which other people would say, you know, are probably maybe on par with Mark. You know, this goes back to Stephen Fry's excellent program, again, about the word, which is, you know, taboo words. And what is the point of them? And, you know, the N-word, for instance, and why it's so nasty, when it seems that the people, obviously, it denigrates, are more than happy to use it themselves. Now, for me, that's paradoxical, almost.
Hmm. It's a weird one, though, because I will sing that word. Now, I don't sing. I'm a bad singer. But if I've got my iPod on, my MP3 player, and I'm listening to a song that's got that word in it, I'll
you
just
listen
sing
to
along.
R&B?
Yeah. Some.
Oh, R&B is shit.
Right. It's not all shit.
John,
you know, 99% of everything is shit. But there's some good stuff. What about Jeff U by CeeLo Green? That's got that word in it. And Gold Digger by Kanye West.
No, exactly.
Both great songs, and they both got that word in it. And I'll sing along to those. But I will not use the word. I won't select that word to use in a sentence.
In polite conversation, no. And neither
well,
would
in
I.
Any conversation, it was a joke. I feel the weight of it is too much.
But that's the chilling side, I think, of, you know, political correctness. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not Little John who's going to go bang on about how political correctness has gone mad. But I do kind of subscribe to, you know, the 1984 Newspeak concept that... you know, if we ban words and ban concepts, and when I say ban, I don't necessarily mean enforce laws against it, but I mean, you know, make thought, well, you know what I'm saying. Sorry, I can't think of the words tonight.
I saw a great quote on Twitter. Yeah, I've gone quiet because I'm desperately trying to find it again. because it was very good, and I'll try and repeat it, but I probably won't do it as much justice. It may have been, actually. Sorry. I think it was basically along the lines of if you're I can't remember what it was. Not to put it in a normal
really? Is that
Steve
what she's
way.
That's, Steve, that's like been the 30 worst seconds of podcast
I know,
ever
but
put together.
You can edit it out because we're not live.
Shit, now can you imagine if we were live, people would have been ditching the stream in droves.
Yeah, whatever.
I'll leave it in, that's great.
But my only thing is
swine.
My only thing is, you know, people have, and this has had to do with people that were used, this was the story I wanted to talk about earlier, people who were using words that had medical associations, and Hmong was one of them, but a lot of them were mental as well. So, like...
I found the quote.
Go on then, give us the quote.
It's Richard Wiseman.
Okay, yeah.
And it's, but he's quoting Jerry Sadovich, being offended is a tax you pay so you can laugh at jokes that offend other people.
And this is true. And we talked about this too, about Frankie Boyle and how he made fun of someone with Down syndrome. All the people in the audience laughed their ass off. One person was offended.
Yeah.
That person would have probably laughed their ass off if he told a joke about some other minority or some other, you know.
Yeah.
So, and this is the point. Without the taboo, where is the humour? And that is... That's
but then,
where
is that the point? Is that Ricky Gervais then going too far, maybe? That he's gone beyond humour and he's just gone just to the plain offensive.
There is a line that you can refer to the fact that there are stupid people who think that this stuff matters, but then if you go too far, you could just be another Bernard Manning. And surely you're not going to tell me you thought that was a great idea or even remotely funny.
Well, I don't think it was funny. I don't know. I haven't seen much of Bernard Manning stuff, so you know, can you use someone on a bit newer? Who's that ginger dickhead who used to do the snooker program?
Jim Davidson.
Yeah, him. He wasn't funny. But the thing is, he was his comedy was for him, it was true, wasn't it? The words he was speaking was how he felt about minorities. But what I mean is, what's wrong with talking about wheelchair bound rapists, you know?
Oh God, it's too late in the podcast to be bringing that one up.
No,
we'll be here another half an hour. That reminds me, we're getting towards the end.
Yeah, no, we are.
My Catholic story.
Hang on a second, let's do this. Right, has Trev got a Catholic story this week?
It's have a very you? Quick one. I have. I've got two of them, but I'll save the other one for next week. This one here is just that Susan Sarandon has called the current Pope a Nazi. So you don't have to. She's done it publicly. So now, if you find yourself just accidentally saying, what a Nazi, you could just go, according to Susan Sarandon, afterwards, and get out of it.
Yeah.
Bless her.
I still think that UK libel law will still have you, just by repeating it, I think. Hence why Amazon UK is in trouble with Richard Dawkins. But allegedly, just put allegedly in the front of everything. Allegedly, the Pope is a Nazi, doesn't it?
No.
Oh, fuck. Shit, I take it back.
I think they had a lawyer on Have I Got News For You, and he's saying, that doesn't do jack shit, hey.
Why are we using the term allegedly in front of it anyway? Because wasn't the Pope a Nazi?
No, he's a member of the Hitler Youth.
Oh, right, okay, not that they weren't members of the Nazi Party at all.
Well, I thought that back because then, that, you they know, couldn't join the party.
In all fairness, I mean, look, you know, I'll always have a little dig at the Pope and a little chuckle at his expense, particularly
well,
about his...
Yeah, actually, the Hitler Youth wasn't named
Hitler
after
youth
the,
past, but,
the Führer, the leader of the Nazi Party. It was named after Gavin Hitler, who was completely unaffiliated.
Yeah, exactly. No, you know, over 90% of the pop, that's a figure I've just pulled out my arse.
Holy shit, Steve. Yeah, come
I'm
on.
I'm going to retract that straight back, though, because somebody from somewhere will pick me up on it. But I think it's fair to say that the majority of people during the time of the Nazi supremacy in Germany were, in fact, members of the Nazi Party and were therefore Nazis.
But
so I don't think I think it's, you know,
I don't
not
know if
actually wrong to say that the Pope was a Nazi, because quite likely
you're really ad hoc rationalisation going on there, mate. What I'm saying is, like, signing up to the Nazi Party actually became a prerequisite for certain jobs and things like that. So in a way, a lot of people did it even though they didn't sign up to
the
ideology.
That's what I'm saying. So, you know, that's my whole point, is that actually the Pope probably was a Nazi.
No, my point was that he probably wasn't. He
can't carry a member of the party. Doesn't there say many signed on to ideologies?
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Guys, come on. It's getting late.
we
can't. It's too big a story.
It's all too big a story. Holy shit, this is turning into the longest podcast ever. Even if I cut out the bit where I'm bullying Steve.
And my 30 seconds of umming and ahhing.
We're still taking ages, so...
And me when I'm desperately trying to talk about sport without sounding like a complete twat.
Oh, you did well, Trev.
Oh, cheers.
No, don't
damn me with faint praise, why don't you? Oh, you bastard. Okay, let's say goodnight to the nice ladies and gentlemen.
Well, before we do, I'd just like, first of all, I'd like to thank Trevor tonight, of all people, because it was brave for him to bring up a story that he actually knew jack shit about. And so it was almost like a hand grenade that he threw amongst us and then ran away very quickly. So thank you, Trevor. And on that note, on that bombshell, as Jeremy Clarkson would say, we will see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.